Good morning. And it is a good morning. That was powerful, wasn't it? That was tremendous. Thank you so much. Well, it is really good to be back. I'm Mark Middleburg, and I do feel like this is almost my home, though I haven't really gotten an apartment here at this point. And I do have to correct a little heresy, I think, that Jody was teaching a little earlier. I'm still a Broncos guy. And you're all welcome to join today as well. It's a big day, big game. Get on the right side of history here, you know. It really is fun to be back. I was here originally for the Unapologetic Conference about a year ago, and then met Trev, and he invited me back, and I was here in November and did some teaching, talked about how we could all find natural approaches, natural styles for how we could share our faith. And then they invited me back this weekend. I had a great time with the students on Friday night and some of you as well. And then again on Saturday morning, talking about how we can be confident, how we can know that Christianity is true. I went through 20 arrows of truth, I call them, that are part of the book that's in the back if you're interested. But, I thought this was the end of the tour here with this visit. But in the meantime, I've been working with some young leaders and guys that are involved in outreach. A guy from Minneapolis named Matt Brown, and he said, we're going to do some events, some conferences throughout Texas, and we'd like you to be involved and some of the other people I work with. And so we began to work on this all fall and partner and plan, and it ends up we're going to go to Houston and San Antonio and Dallas and Fort Worth. And I just found out a few days ago, I said, where are we going to be at in Dallas, by the way? He goes, oh, it's this church, have you heard of it? It's called Hunter's Glen. I'm going, yeah, it's sort of becoming my second home. So I just want to let you know, you may have heard a little bit about it, but in fact, I think we're going to put a slide up. It's a little dark to see, but this is going to be the third of a four-city tour that we're doing with this conference called Ignite. It's a one-night deal. It's like from 6:30 to 9:30. It's going to be here on Thursday night, February 19th, aimed mostly at, high school and college-age students. But if you're young at heart, I think you'd like it. I'll warn you, there is going to be a Christian rock band there. So if you don't like that, just tell other people that would like that and send them. If you like it, you could sign up and come. It's a free event, and let me just tell you who's going to be there. Let's go to the next slide. I don't know if you're familiar with the musician and band called Leland. They're big on Christian radio. He wrote a song called Tears of the Saints. It's been a favorite of mine for a number of years. Just a powerful, anointed young musician and his band. They're going to be right here that night. Along with, those names, John Luke and Mary Kate Robertson from Duck Dynasty. They're going to be interviewed live here that night. Matt Brown, who's organizing it. Grant Skeldon, who's a young teacher here in the Dallas area, and myself. It's going to be kind of a rapid-fire night that is designed to ignite us and fire us up to spread the gospel. And it's a free event. How's that? So all you have to do is go to the website, go to the next slide, ignitelive.org, and sign up free. And again, this may or may not be for you, but young people, not just from this church, this is a Dallas-wide event. So please spread the word, encourage people to sign up. We already have, I think, 200 or 300 signed up. But we want to pack the place out, and we're going to have a great night. We think God's going to use it to ignite a lot of young and emerging students and leaders to share the faith, to get the gospel out. And it's also partly kind of a way to gear up for the Greg Laurie Harvest event that's going to happen in Dallas in March as well. Let me turn the corner to what I want to talk to you about today. The title is Becoming a Contagious Christian. And I believe in my heart of hearts, all of us, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're committed to him, I think you want to be a contagious Christian, a Christian that God uses to impact the lives of other people. Someone who doesn't just go through the 9-to-5, day after day, week after week, year after year, and then retire and go to heaven. I think we want to bring people with us. I think that's embedded into the DNA of what it means to be a follower of Christ, that we're here to spread his good news, to spread the love of Christ, to tell other people and to bring as many as those people as possible with us. You know, before I moved to the Denver area, I lived in Southern California, and I had a lot of spiritual conversations with neighbors, some tough conversations. My next door neighbor was agnostic, and we had lunch sometimes. We would talk. I would invite him to things. He'd say no. I'd invite him again. He'd say no. We still had some good conversations. I gave him some things to read, and we lived there for years, and I never saw anyone come to Christ. And I wanted to have an impact. And it doesn't always happen, or who knows, maybe over time, my neighbor, Eric, will end up coming to Christ, maybe a few of the other people. But I didn't see the fruit there. Then we moved to Colorado. We live in a house out in the woods, kind of south of Colorado. And there aren't a lot of neighbors there, but we got to know the few that were there and found out that on Friday nights they have flamingo parties. You ever heard of flamingo parties? It's something, I don't know if it's a Colorado thing or what, but all summer on Friday nights, whoever has the cheap, tacky flamingos, you know, those ugly things that they used to sell, whoever has those in front of their house, that's where everyone goes for a get-together, a party. And so we were invited. We thought, this is kind of fun. This is a great way to get to know the neighborhood. And we did. We began to very quickly form friendships. And one woman in particular named Kathy, we kind of hit it off and started building a friendship. And with her boyfriend as well, Don. And over time, the conversations deepened. And over time, she began to open up more and more. She was resistant at first, a little bristly at first, but then she started, you know, warming up and softening and becoming more open. And one day she told my wife Heidi and me that she had some spiritual questions. And she said, could I come by? And she actually came on a morning where I was flying to Canada to speak, so I was kind of packing, but she came and we sat down and we began to share, and it was clear the Holy Spirit was working on Kathy. And we talked, and the conversation went deeper. And we reached a point where I drew a little picture that I'm going to draw here in a few minutes to share the gospel. And all the time I'm thinking, I got to finish packing, I got to get to the airport, but this is really important. And reached a point where I drew it's called the bridge illustration, I drew it. And I wasn't even quite done, and she's getting impatient. She goes, I get it. She goes, I'm on the wrong side. How do I get over to the other side? She's bawling. I thought, man, I might miss a flight here, but this is important. I want to have an impact. And my wife and I shared and ended up praying with Kathy as she sobbed and gave her life to Christ. And I thought, you know, I did make my flight, but I thought, this is what life is about. I mean, there's a lot of important things in our lives. But there's nothing greater, nothing more lasting, nothing more important, nothing more rewarding than getting to have a contagious influence on someone, to have a spiritual impact that lasts for eternity. And then by God's grace, about a year later, I went to breakfast with her boyfriend, Don, and we sat in my car afterwards and we talked, and I ended up drawing him this picture. And in my car, Don prayed and gave his life to Christ. And soon another neighbor, Lynn, came to Christ. And then through Kathy and Don, a friend of theirs in Chicago, and her husband made commitments. And it's contagious. It's spreading. And I look at that. I go, that's what I wanted to see where I lived in California. By God's grace, we're seeing it where I live now in Colorado. And as I talk about that, doesn't that, if you know Christ, doesn't that make your heart beat faster? Don't you want more of that in your life? I do. I mean, we've seen some people come to Christ, but a whole lot more that haven't. So I want to talk about how we can have an impact, how we can be contagious with our faith. And you'll be glad to know I summed it up in a nice little formula that makes it real easy, okay? Here's the formula. HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. Does that bless you? Should I just close in prayer? I don't need to explain that, do I? Or should I like unpack that a little bit? Maybe I'll unpack it a little bit. Seriously, though, I think there's some biblical elements that if we put together, we can have, let me just give you a little clue. The MI stands for maximum impact. I think we're made for impact. I think we want to have a maximum impact. Jesus said it's God's will that we not only abide in him and stay close to him. In John 15, he said this, but that we bear much fruit. And that's not just the church collectively. That's each of us as individual followers of Christ. He wants us to bear fruit. So how can we have a maximum impact? And I just want to go through these. Let's go to the first one, HP. This one says the first part, if you want to be a contagious Christian, if you want to have an impact on other people, you have to have high potency in your own walk with Christ. You know, Jesus called us the salt of the earth. But he said, if salt loses its savor, you know, what's going to make it salty again? It has to be salty salt. It has to be highly potent salt. And, you know, going back to John 15, 5, Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you will bear much fruit. And so if we want to have an impact on other people, we've got to start with ourselves and make sure that we're walking close to Christ, that we have high potency in our own relationship with Christ. I mean, going back to the contagious theme, you can't spread the disease if you don't have it yourself. You need to be fully infected, if I can push the metaphor. You need to be fully dedicated to Christ. You need to be walking with him. Not that we live perfect lives, but that's truly, that there's not hypocrisy in our lives, that there's a sincerity that is beautiful to other people, that's attractive, that makes them want what we've got. And frankly, we're not going to want to give away what we've got unless we know it's genuine. So the first part of the formula says, you know, we need to be living with Christ. I like the way one person said, we need to be good news before we share the good news. We need to be abiding in Christ. And then Jesus said, we'll bear much fruit. So I hope that motivates you. You know, a lot of the everyday things we do to read God's word and to pray and to stay close to him and to turn away from sin and to fellowship and grow in the church and just be a disciple of Christ. That's not important just for you. That's important for your neighbors and family members, people around you, that you become an attractive, you know, kind of person who's walking with Christ in a way that makes people say, she's got something I don't have. He's got, you know, something different about him. I want what that guy's got. So it starts with us being highly potent, walking with Christ, and that makes us attractive to other people. But that's not enough. You know, a lot of people say, that's all I'll do. I'll just kind of live it out, and people will see it in my life. They'll figure it out. No, it's not enough just to kind of live, you know, in isolation as a Christian. And a lot of us, you know, we're not contagious Christians. We're quarantined Christians. In fact, I was watching the orchestra and the band, and I thought, you know, I feel sorry for that drummer. Does anyone feed him during the week? I mean, he's in that cage. I thought, I hope they slip some, you know, at least give him something to drink, you know. But that's kind of a picture of a lot of us as Christians, where we may be living a Christian life, we may have potency, but we're quarantined off. And so the next part of the formula is CP, which says we have to have close proximity. And let's go back to Jesus in Matthew 5, where he said, we're the salt of the earth. Salt doesn't do anything unless it rubs up and gets close to what it wants to impact. You know, salt's a spice. It's got to be on the food before it has any impact, right? Well, so also, we're the salt of the earth, but if we're quarantined, we're not going to have an influence. We got to get out of our, you know, safe circle. You know, we can't be with Christians all the time. We can't be in the holy huddle all the time. We need to take the risk and reach out to the people we want to get close to, the people we want to impact, the people we want to have an influence on. And some people go, "Ah, the Bible says to be separate." Well, Jesus said, "Go into all the world." So there's a place for separating and growing strong, but there's a place in our lives. The Great Commission says, "Go into all the world." And guess who modeled that? Jesus. You know, one of the titles that was given to him, it was actually meant as an insult, is he was a friend of sinners. And it was the quarantine Pharisees that called him that. It was an insult, but Jesus wore it as a badge of honor. You know, he said, "Yes, I am. I'm a friend of sinners." And he lived his life in a way that showed friendship, showed that he was willing to go to their events, be at their parties, go to their weddings, go to their gatherings, have meals with sinners, tax collectors. So much so he really risked and ruined his reputation. He was called a glutton and a drunkard. Why? Not because he was, but because those were the people he spent time with. And so if we want to have an impact, we've got to get out of the quarantine and become contagious by getting up close, having close proximity with the people we want to influence. And I would just urge you to think about it. You know, who is there a neighbor that if you just spent time with, got a little closer to, had them over for a meal or coffee or, you know, watch the Broncos win together this afternoon, whatever. But to get up close and rub shoulders with people far from God, it's essential. Jesus said, "The sick need the doctor to go to them." Paul said, "I become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel." You know, God spanned all the way across heaven and became incarnate in Christ to get up close to a sinful world he wanted to impact. We need to get up close to the people we want to influence as well. So you need to be highly potent in your faith. And I know that's a process, that's an ongoing thing. Then we need to take risks to get unquarantined, to get out there where we can be contagious. But that's not enough. Some Christians are out there, they're hanging out with people, but they're still kind of hoping people will sort of figure it out. You know, they've heard that thing that your life might be the only Bible that people read, and they're going, "Well, my life's a Bible. People will read it and figure it out." Guess what? People don't tend to figure it out on their own. The gospel, spreading the good news, involves not just actions, those are important, not just being up close to people, but putting it into words, explaining it. And so the third part of our formula is clear communications. Clear communications. In other words, we got to put it into words. Let me give you a verse. Paul said in Romans 10:14, he said, "How will people know the message unless someone goes to them?" And some translations say preach, but the idea isn't preach from a podium. The idea is go to them and explain it. He said people aren't going to figure it out on their own. They're not going to understand the good news, the gospel, just by seeing some Christians at a distance. We need to go to them. That goes back to the close proximity. But more than that, we need to explain it. My paraphrase of that verse is, our friends are not going to see it unless we go to them and say it. Somehow we need to convey and communicate in clear language what the message is. Another verse, 1 Peter 3:15 says to us, you know, set apart Christ as Lord, sanctify Christ as our Lord. That goes back to, you know, high potency. But then he says, be prepared to give an answer for anyone who asks. In other words, be ready to talk about it. Be ready to explain it. Be ready to answer people that ask you, like, what does this thing mean? What? I know you're a Christian, you go to church, but what's that about? Does that make you a Christian just to go to church? No. Well, let me explain it. So we need to learn how to CC, put it into clear communications. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do that. A lot of real good illustrations that you can go straight to Scripture and show how we need to have faith in Christ, we need to believe in Him, we need to trust Him. But I have this board up here for a reason. I want to draw you the picture I drew for Kathy. And I didn't invent this picture. You've maybe seen it before. It's classically referred to as the bridge illustration. It originally was written by a guy back, I think, in the 1950s. I actually met him once from the Navigators Ministry. He told me he was sitting under a tree praying about a friend he wanted to reach. And this came to him, this illustration, which has been used now to reach, I think, probably millions of people have come to Christ. Now, what I'm going to draw is kind of my rendition of this. And I want to tell you, for the minutes that remain of the service, this is kind of boot camp now. What I want to do is not just have you listen to me. I know there's a bulletin that you got when you came in. Hopefully you got one. And they conveniently provided space on the back here. Now, some of you I know already wrote the formula, but hopefully you have some room on there. What I'd encourage you to use is the top half of the room to draw this picture as I draw it, okay? There's pens or pencils, I think, in the pews. Everyone play, come on. Everyone draw this, because this is something you can use to clearly communicate the message of Christ in a simple way. And what I'll often say to people, like Kathy, I'll say, you know, if it's okay, let me just draw you a little picture that I think sums up, you know, this big book of the Bible. The Bible's a big book. There's a lot of words, a lot of books, a lot of chapters within the Bible. But I want to draw you a picture that I think sums it up well. You probably can't see it over there, can you? Huh? Go back. All right. That's probably as far as if you can't see it, you might want to slide in. It's okay. It's legal to move in church. You can move over this way if you need to. But here's the way I do it. And again, I say this kind of sums up what the Christian faith is all about. And so here it is. God made us. Okay? So he made, I just put the word here, us, and the word God here. God made us, and he wanted to have a relationship with us. Unfortunately, we, starting back in the Garden of Eden, we said, no, we want to do our own thing and go our own way. You know, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and that put a chasm between God and us. And don't just blame them. We've been doing it ever since, okay? So we all have actively participated in going our own way, doing our own thing, rejecting God, sinning. And that puts this chasm between us and God. Now, still deep in our hearts, I think most people know there is a God. My life isn't right. I fall short of the standard. I need to try to get back to God. How do I do that? And so I think most people say, I'm going to try a little harder. And we get in this works mentality. It says, if I just, you know, kind of take a leap across the chasm here, then that'll help me get across to God. The problem is, Romans 3:23 says, all of our efforts fall short. You draw on that, you got the arrow over the edge. Now, let me tell you, some people try harder than others. I mean, some people just say, forget it. I know where I'm headed. It's going to be a party. I'm just going to, you know, live for the gusto and go wherever I go. Well, a lot of people aren't that way. They say, I'm going to get religious about it. But if you're doing religion, if you're doing church, you're doing whatever your version of that is, as a way to earn your way to God, the Bible says you still fall short. And to complete the bad news, the Bible says because we've sinned and because we fall short, we deserve a penalty called death, spiritual death penalty. And people are going, I thought this was good news. And it's going to be, but let me tell you, the good news isn't really good until people know the bad news first, the predicament that we're in, that we are morally bankrupt and we are in trouble with God and we are facing his judgment, and there's nothing we can do about it on our own. I mean, you can try harder, but you, no matter how hard you try to jump, you can never get back to God. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. God still loves us. He still cares about us. He still wants us to know him. And you don't have to have two colors of pens, but I'm going to use a different one just so it stands out for you to be able to see. Here's the good news, that even though we've sinned, even though we deserve the death penalty, God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He built a bridge back to us. This is why this is called the bridge illustration. And that bridge looks like this. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And guess what? God came in the person of Christ to die for our sins so that we would not have to. That's good news, isn't it? He took the penalty we deserve, paid the price in our place, and offers us his righteousness and his forgiveness. So that's a great news, but there's one more thing I got to say about this, and that is it's not enough to just know this. It's not enough to just nod our heads and go, yep, I believe it. Nodding our heads and just believing it is like living over here with more information. And I probably used this illustration before when I was here, but I think it's a good one. I fly a lot, okay, and today I'm flying back to Denver. It's not enough for me to believe in aviation. That doesn't get me home. In fact, I could go to the airport and sit in the terminal here in Dallas and read books about the science of flight and become an expert on aviation, and it'll never get me home. And some people just learn Bible verses and read books and nod their heads, and they're religious non-Christians. They're churchians, but they're not Christians. And that's the worst. That just makes us more responsible. We're just in trouble at that point. It's not enough to know it. You must respond to it. It's not enough for me to believe in aviation. I have to climb on board the airplane. That's the step of faith that will get me home. Same here spiritually. It's not enough to nod your head and say, I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. You have to respond and make him your Savior by trusting in Christ and asking him, I can't draw, but you get the point. Asking him to forgive your sins, not just to be the Savior of the world, but to be my Savior. And say, forgive me of my sins. Help me to turn from what I've been doing, go the other way, and to be a follower of Christ. Lord, be my Lord. Be my Savior. And that's what it means to become a Christian. And that's what Kathy did with me that day. So here's what I want to do. One more flight illustration. When I fly in an airplane, like I'm flying home on the jet today, I'm really glad that the pilot learned first in flight simulation school. Aren't you when you fly? I mean, you don't want to make an, you know, I'm flying up along the front range of the Rocky Mountains today. You don't want the pilot learning and making his mistakes with us in the back of the airplane, right? You want him to do flight simulation first. Well, so also, if we want to become contagious Christians that share our faith in a powerful way, we need to do a little flight simulation school ourselves. So here's what I want you to do. This is why I hope you took good notes, and I'll leave this up here. I want to have you draw that for the person next to you. This is the boot camp part, okay? We're going to actually try it. And again, I did kind of a long version. Let me just repeat it again, the short version. God made us and wanted to have a relationship with us, but we broke that off when we sinned. We tend to try to get back to God through our own efforts, but they fall short, and because we're sinners, we deserve a penalty. But God still loves us. Here's the good news. God still loves us, and he built a bridge back to us. And it looks like the cross. And because he died on the cross for us, Jesus died, we don't have to. And all we have to do is trust him as our forgiver and leader, and we're in his kingdom. So let's try this. Here's the deal. If you have to move around a little bit, get with someone, and hopefully you got a little more space on that paper. If not, you can write over the front. It's legal. It's okay. But draw that for the person next to you, and I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to draw it. Okay, so pair up, decide who's going first, And you can look up here and cheat, that's okay. I want to just have you draw it. Go ahead, first person, draw it for the other person. Just talk it through. Okay, as soon as the first person was done, then reverse roles and let the other person draw it for you now, okay? Go ahead and reverse roles and draw it for the other person. Okay, as soon as you're done, look up at me so I know. Well, that was quick. If you didn't quite finish, you can continue as soon as we're done, but I have the clock glaring at me from the back. So let me just end with a couple quick thoughts. Go to the next slide. All of this adds up to having a maximum impact, which we're created to have. So let me go one more slide, just by way of review. And let me challenge you in each of these areas. HP, high potency, what is God telling you that you need to do to increase your potency spiritually? Is it to let go of something, to get some sin out of your life, to change something, to go deeper with Him, with the Holy Spirit, with reading the Word? Do what it takes to be a highly potent follower of Christ. That's the prerequisite. And let God lead you on that. Secondly, what do you need to do to get in close proximity with people that you're called to reach, that you know God wants you to use, to be used, to influence? It may be someone at work, at school, in the neighborhood, someone in your family. It might be someone that God just brought to your mind from 40 years ago that you went to school with. And if you just look them up and share with them and say, here's what's happened in my life, who knows how God would use that? But we got to get, just keep that image. You got to get out of that drum cage there. You got to get unquarantined if you want to be contagious. And then finally, clear communication. You know, I know that seems like such a simple little illustration. You know, what could that do? Well, I'll tell you what, Kathy's headed to heaven. And Don is headed to heaven. In part because that picture made the gospel clear to them. You know, Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that picture is not perfect, but it's a pretty clear rendition of that powerful message from God. So, last challenge, show that to someone this week. Maybe it's a believer, maybe it's someone in your class or small group. Better yet, maybe it's an unbeliever and you say, you know, I have this assignment, the guy at church said I have to draw this for someone. So it might as well be you. Can I show this to you? And they go, well, if it's an assignment, I guess. Yeah, okay. And then after you draw it, say, okay, the assignment's done, but I am really curious. Where are you on here? And God could use that. And last thing I want to say is, if you're not sure you've ever crossed over, today could be your day. You may have gone to church for a long time. You're a churchian. You're nodding your head. You're going, I agree with this. But you haven't climbed on board the airplane. Today could be your day. Say yes to Jesus Christ and make him your forgiver, leader, and very best friend. God bless you.